You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. Our current serial is The Bromances, which is the third Belladonna University series. Links to the others are in the show notes. I'm going to give one last shout out for Mother of Invention, the feminist robot and artificial intelligence anthology I'm currently kickstarting with my co-editor Rivka Raphael and 12th Planet Press. We funded over the weekend, which is really exciting. So we're definitely making this book, but we still have a few days to try and reach stretch goals. We have some really exciting projects in mind, including another podcast from me, because you can never quite have enough, apparently. This would be a one-shot podcast series of me reading the book of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, only with the pronouns swapped around. So I'm quite excited to do that. If we make it to 21,000, then we unlock that particular one. And then there are other stretch goals as well that we can try and reach before our deadline at the end of the week. So if you haven't pledged yet to the Mother of Invention Kickstarter, do go check out the website, see if there are any rewards that look exciting to you. Even if you just put down to get the ebook when it's released, that would be huge support. Though it is worth noting that if you want the hardback edition, backing the Kickstarter is the only way to get that. It will be a paperback release when it's released to the general public in about a year's time, if not longer. So now is the time to pre-order Mother of Invention over at Kickstarter. Now that that is out of the way, back to Mandrake Sands. Episode 6 of The Bromances. Sage to the rescue. Day 1 of Winterfest, and we've already lost our cellist. Hebes was freaking out, and Holly was pretending not to care, which only made Hebe more frantic but also pissed off. Deck and May had made themselves scarce, claiming they were forming a search party. Yeah, right. My magic was sparking, reacting to the tension that rolled off the girls. Hey, Hebes, I interrupted. I'm going to go see if I can spot her from the air. She threw a teacup at me, which was impressive because I don't think there was a single teacup in the camp. Not like this one, not proper pink china with roses and a saucer. Hebe's magic is pretty quiet most of the time, but home furnishings sometimes appear around her when she's upset. I was prepared to take a cup to the face for the team, but Hebe froze it before it collided with my nose. She looked horrified. Sage, I'm sorry. No big. I'm gonna... Yeah, May and Deck had the right idea. Up, up and away. I've had the same broomstick for years. He's sturdy and workmanlike. Not one of the fancier models out there. Good old basic stick with bristles. He and I have been through some shit together, and when I need to pour off excess energy, Bruce is there to help a bloke out. Yeah, my broom is called Bruce. What of it? First time I came to Winterfest, I was 15, but big for my age, and I signed up as a volunteer to get the discount. They had me on security most of the time. Everyone assumes that the whole no Wi-Fi shit is a hipster thing, to force us all to enjoy the music in the moment instead of live tweeting it, or whatever. According to official press releases, Winterfest prides itself on magical display and pyro enchantments during the night shows. When you've planned your events around that much volatile magic, you need to dial down on the unreal tech. That's all true, but the inside word I got during that security gig is there's a whole bunch of curseware webbed into the Winterfest setup to prevent certain spells from being cast. Keeping that setup stable is the main reason they block not only Wi-Fi, but all internet and phone signals from Mandrake Sands at this time of year. Location charms are on the official blocked and banned list. A lot of big name celebs come to Winterfest, and while tradition has them mucking in with the rest of us, they have legit safety concerns around this much concentrated fandom. Location spells make it really easy for stalkers and journos to get way too much information about how to zero in on the festival's big name performers. May and Deck weren't going to have much luck finding Juniper, unless they happened to bump into a witness on their investigation. I knew the weak spots in the system. Like the curse field that keeps out all unapproved enchantments and internet juice. If you went high enough, you could get clear of the field. 400 feet above the campsite, with a broom gripped between my thighs. I cast the location charm. It spun out of me, glazing the world violet for a moment. I concentrated all my thoughts on my mate Juniper. Her soft smile, her obsession with dead white lady authors, her brightly blazing crush on Holly, the one thing we never joked about out loud, because it had dragged on way too long to be anything but embarrassing. Juniper. I saw a spark beneath me and sent a thought spinning out across the campsite. Hebe. She got back to me straight away, huffing with impatience. What's the rule about telepathy, Sage? Boyfriends and sisters only, I know. And they still have to apply in writing 3 days ahead of time. I need you to look at a map of the site, facing north. She huffed again. Hebe was the only person I knew who could do that inside her head. Hang on, there's one not far from... Yep, here it is. I breathed. Okay, follow the fairy lights path, south of stage 3. On the west side, got it? Hating it. 4 tenths down from there, roundish one on the east of that path. There's some kind of tree line. Huh, said Hebe. I think that's the Tim Tam Slam Club.
The what?
It's like a cabaret karaoke bar. Holly listed it as one of the places she and Juniper went last night.
Juniper's there now.
Meet you there, Hebe thought briskly at me. Good thing I had the directions, because the location spell vanished as I flew lower. It was hard to tell one big tent from another the closer I got. I landed near stage 3, banging my knee awkwardly on one of the humming anti-Wi-Fi markers. Something wicked were playing. Muffling spells had been set around the back of the stage, so the sound of the band only carried forward, but I'd know those vibrations in my sleep. Bloody hell, I hadn't want to miss them. They finally had their original drummer back. There's this law of music festivals. You never get to see the acts you went there for. And the ones you do make it to always have a bad set, or whatever. The best music at a festival comes from the bands you weren't expecting to enjoy and didn't plan to bother seeing. So yeah, here was me limping off towards something called the Tim Tam Slam Club instead of hanging around to hear one of my favourite indie bands play live, or whatever. I found Juniper almost immediately. She... really didn't need to be rescued, from what I could see. She was sitting on the bar, crooning into a microphone, cuddling a girl in a blonde ponytail who, well, she looked a lot like Holly. I'd seen Holly wear that exact outfit on stage. The tiny silver dress, the giant fluffy UGG boots, the denim replica jacket from the Bromancers with Cinnavar's name spelled out on the back in fake sigils. Holly didn't actually know what she was wearing. When she stole that jacket from May, she just thought it was cool. And after fans started tweeting her about how awesome it was, she ordered her own. Anyway, Juniper and her new friend were singing Judy Garland karaoke, which was a whole lot more retro than I had any patience for. An odd look crossed Juniper's face when she saw me, like she couldn't believe I was here. Then she hiccuped, "Sage!" and practically threw herself across the bar to hug me. This was new. Juniper was not the touchy-feely type, not with me, anyway. I patted her head awkwardly. You okay? We were worried you didn't come back to camp last night. She tipped her face up to mine, glowing. I have been having the best time. Are you still drunk? I asked suspiciously. We had breakfast mojitos, she said with a giggle. That was off, too. I don't think I've ever heard Juniper giggle before. Except for when there was Holly and champagne in the same vicinity. Maybe this was good. She was making other friends, cutting loose a little. I might be a big brother type to every girl in our band, but that didn't mean I had the right to get all protective and shit. Had to trust them to set their own limits. Just, I said, you gotta check in, babe, every now and then, so we know you're okay. Juniper booted me on the nose. You called me babe. She giggled again. We'll look after her, said blonde ponytail Holly replica, giving me a stern look. She came up and hooked her arm in Juniper's. She's awesome.
Sure, I know that.
Pace yourself, yeah? I added to Juniper. Maybe eat something solid. And we need you for rehearsal tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., back at camp. 10 a.m., Juniper nodded, giving me a wobbly salute.
because we play tomorrow. Her eyes glowed with delight. I get to play Irene on stage. Yep, I agreed. She's missing you. Don't neglect her too long. And, wow, was this what Hebe felt like all the time when we treated her like the band mum? Here to put band-aids on our ouchies and make us soothing cups of tea? You can stay if you like, Sage, said the not Holly, giving me a very pointed once-over. We have more drinks coming. Not even lunchtime? Wow, where did that come from? When did I become the cranky old man of this band? Some other time, I said, and then collected a dainty fist bump from Juniper and backed out of her space. That seems out of character, said a low voice as I left the tent. Ferd was hanging out by the entrance, wearing a weirdly formal silk jacket over his shirt and jeans, plus boots that were way too nice for the muddy paths around here. Shit that happens at Winterfest stays at Winterfest, I said automatically, then did a double take. Hey, man. Hey, said Ferd easily. We did a bro arm clasp thing because we hadn't seen each other for like a day. I thought you weren't coming, I said suspiciously. If Ferd was here, nah. Jules' nightshade wouldn't be seen in a henna hippie hellscape of live music and mung beans, like Mandrake Sands. Besides, we'd broken up. It usually took him at least 3 days to sulk and recover before he came back to get his flirt on. We changed our minds, said Ferd. Thought I'd surprise Hebe. Mate, I said, smacking him firmly on the shoulder. Mate! You've known Hebe's for like half a year now? You do realise she really hates surprises. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Don't forget to check out the link to Mother of Invention, the Kickstarter, this month only. This week only. Finishing at the end of the month. That being June 2017. If it's not June 2017, you missed it. See you next week.